I'm Damika Aline. This is number 0335 of the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder, and it comes to you right now.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Now, it's time for an eclectic mix of interviews and some of the oddest news stories you'll ever hear. It's the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Hey there, hi there, ho there! Peter Anthony Holder here with you, and yes, this is indeed another edition of the Stuff File program, number 0335. And coming up on this edition of the Stuff File program, you'll meet Jordan Goodman, America's Money Answers Man, with tips on what the three winners of last week's Powerball lottery should do with their money.
Have some legal protections, not only a lawyer, but you're going to want an accountant, probably a tax person, there's all kinds of big tax questions, and then an investment person. I mean, are you going to take the lump sum or the annuity? It's a huge question that's going to change your life forever. Now, in my particular case, I would always take the lump sum. I mean, I know how to invest, but that would help. So I want to get the taxes out of the way and then have flexibility in where I invest the money right now. That, to me, is a much better way to go than having it paid out over 10 or 20 years.
Andrew Fazekas, the night sky guy, is back with the big space stories of 2015 and what to look forward to this year.
All the different things that happened in space news in 2015, the biggie, I think, is the flyby of Pluto. We've never flown past this dwarf planet, but it's still very close to many people's heart, and it's been a mystery for generations. And now New Horizons spacecraft in July flew by the small planet, and this was a historic flyby that took 9 years in the making, basically, for that spacecraft to reach this outer solar system destination.
Anita Kovic, an online dating specialist with tips on finding your better half in cyberspace and why January is the most popular month for online dating.
Many people go into the new year with resolutions and with goals set in advance to find their potential mate or someone who would make their lives even more interesting and connect with a person who shares their values.
And there's lots and lots and lots of stuff, and of course, an idiot of the day, the guest Slater. The person who told you this was show number 0335 was my own niece, Damika Aline. Thank you very much, Damika, for doing the guest Slate on this edition of the Stuff File program. Love you. The program that's also heard on Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Well, let's get right to the stuff, shall we? We have now the latest edition of the Redneck Chronicles. This story comes from Kentucky. Now, police in Monticello, Kentucky, charged 25-year-old Rodney Brown with stealing farm animals and equipment from a home in December, but offering to return everything if the victim, a man, had sex with him. Brown allegedly took 25 roosters, a goat, and some rooster pens and other rooster care equipment. Because Brown also supposedly said he'd beat up the man if he called police, a terroristic threatening count was added to promoting prostitution. You know, it's not very often that you can combine terrorism and prostitution. It's a different world we live in these days. Oh, and we're not done with the Redneck Chronicles. 25-year-old William Cornelius and his fiancée, Sherry Moore, who is 20, were arrested at the Bay City, Michigan Mall in January, charged with theft. Now, police found a pair of earrings and a necklace swiped from Spencer Gifts on her, but she refused to snitch on Cornelius, who had minutes earlier proposed to her via a Walmart loudspeaker and given her a ring to the applause from onlooking shoppers, rather, as she accepted. Now, Cornelius, holding $80.93 worth of goods, which included a watch, an edible thong, a vibrator, and BJ Blast oral sex candy, was apprehended at the mall food court. What, he needed more food? Having apparently, according to the police report, wait for it, fallen asleep at a table while tying his shoe. Wow. Okay, this couple is definitely made for each other. But I have one concern. How stressful and exhausting or tiring is tying your shoes? I mean, when I was a toddler learning to tie my shoes, I don't think I ever reached a level where the angst of the chore required that I immediately took a nap. Yikes. Anyway, what is better at a barbecue? Here's a skill testing question for you. Pork chops or breasts? How about both? Especially when the chops are flame-grilled and the breasts are bare and belong to a woman who is drunk and violent. The breasts belong to 31-year-old Christine Taylor, who had been drinking at her trailer park in Florida. Of course. Yes. The fun started when a deputy went to the trailer park to investigate a report of a disturbance. It seems that Ms. Taylor had been trying to fight people in the trailer park, according to one victim who called in the complaint. Earlier, Taylor was accused of toppling a barbecue grill and tossing pork chops all over the lawn. She is then quoted as yelling, "What's up, bro?" before threatening to cut the victim with a beer bottle. It was at this point that Taylor lifted her shirt, revealing her breasts to the victim and his three children. Perhaps because her breasts were more intimidating than a broken beer bottle, although there are no images of the perpetrator's breasts, so it's hard to tell. Taylor was arrested on a disorderly conduct charge, and most of the pork chops were salvaged due to the 20-second rule. Well, it is a trailer park in Florida, so I'm sure there's a junkyard dog who will eat the rest. Meanwhile, NPR's Morning Edition reporting on the violent tornadoes that hit North Texas on the night after Christmas interviewed one woman who said she was luckier than her neighbors because of her faith. She was entertaining 10 relatives when she heard the train-like sound of the winds approaching and took everyone outside to confront the storm. "We started commanding the winds because God had given us authority over airways, and we just began to command these storms to not hit our area. We spoke to the storm and said, 'Go to underpopulated places.' It did exactly what we said it to do because God gave us the authority to do that." Oh, wow. You know, I predict this delusional woman is going to be impossible to live around in the future. I am also guessing that she will continue to brazenly test her faith in the future to the point where she might become a future Darwin Files story. Speaking of which, I got a couple of those to share with you right now, starting with this one. 43-year-old Husmel Herrera was on his back patio in Miami, Florida, showing his cousin how to clean a gun. I guess she wanted to get a gun and he was showing her the ins and outs, a relative Jorge Abreu said. The cousin was somewhere else, though, and the lesson was being given on his iPhone over FaceTime video chat. Now, during the lesson, Herrera accidentally shot himself in the chest and he was killed. David Von Matt, chief instructor for Miami gun classes, said it's common sense to unload a weapon before cleaning it, but it's not unusual to hear about people accidentally shooting themselves with weapons they think are unloaded. A weapon has to be pointed in a safe direction so no one would get hit if something happened, he said. Making a mistake can cost you your life. Thank you, Captain Obvious. Although I guess to a lot of people who are in the Darwin file, it's just not that obvious, is it? A lesson Herrera's cousin will never forget, and that's the Darwin file because, as you know, the tree of life is often self-pruning. But wait, there's one more. Matthew Riggins had told his girlfriend earlier that he and a pal were planning to burglarize some homes around Barefoot Bay in Brevard County, Florida, and was apparently on that mission on November 23rd when an alert resident called 911 and the men then scrambled. The accomplice was caught several days later, but Riggins himself did not survive the night, having taken refuge in nearby woods and drowning trying to outswim an apparently hungry 11-foot alligator. Well, that'll teach him. And finally, in this section of Stuff File News, before we get to our first guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, the Smoking Gun website suggested in December that the Fairbanks, Alaska counterfeiting arrest of 31-year-old Chelsea Sperry might have set a woman's record for orifice-concealed contraband. Her vaginal inventory included 16 counterfeit bills, face value $890. one genuine $10 bill in a different orifice, two baggies of meth, another containing seven morphine pills, two baggies of heroin, and 40 empty baggies, apparently anticipating further sales, although it was not reported why the empty baggies and the legitimate $10 bill were not stored openly, for example, in her pocket. Yeah. Clearly, this is a woman who has a body like a clown car. Anyway, let's get to our first guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, shall we? There was a lot of buzz and excitement over the billion-dollar Powerball lottery draw in the United States. Even here in Canada, many Canadians made the trip across the border to buy into the dream. The big jackpot was won last Wednesday with three winning tickets, one in California, one in Tennessee, and the third in Florida. But what if you won such a huge jackpot? What then? We put that question to Jordan Goodman, America's money answers man. He joins us on the line via Skype from New York. Hi, Jordan.
Great to be with you, Peter. I'm sorry you didn't win.
It's okay. Well, I didn't even play, so I knew I wasn't going to win.
You definitely weren't going to win then either.
Yes. But I know there were a lot of people on our side of the border who went down and...
Oh, yeah.
They would send emissaries, so one person would take a whole bunch of money for, say, 100 people or so and cross the border and buy these tickets. So there was a buying frenzy on both sides of the border. But what I want to talk about is, like I said in the question, what if somebody wins? I guess people aren't really sure what is entailed when winning such a huge jackpot. What's the first thing you recommend?
Well, you have to sign your ticket and then you bring it in. Either to the local store where you bought it or to the state lottery officials, and they confirm it's you. And then you have a choice. Do you take a lump sum or do you take an annuity over typically 10 years or so? So in this case, we have $1.5 billion divided by three, so each of the three are going to get roughly $500 million, give or take a few hundred million here or there.
Okay, so there's also a matter of trust, and I don't want to cast aspersions on people who are selling tickets, because I'm sure that most of them, by the way, are on the up and up. But you just gave me a choice of two ways to get the ticket verified. If I feel I have the winning ticket, and it's such a high-priced ticket, I'm not going back to the place I bought it from. I'm going to the lottery commission.
I would make the trip to the state capitol, actually, yes. I
exactly.
Think that'd be a good idea. In your private jet, which you just acquired, actually.
Okay, so once you've done that, to a certain degree, a bit of the horror story begins because, I mean, you publicly have to be named as the winner, which...
Not all. In six states, you do not.
In six, okay.
In 44 states, you have to actually appear with that monster check that you wanted because that's their best advertising out there to force all the other fools to put more money in the next time it comes around. But in six states, you can actually remain anonymous.
Please tell me, what are the lucky states that you can remain anonymous in?
I don't even remember what they are. Those tend not to be the winners you think about because they don't have the pictures of the guy with the big check. So I only know there's six states. But it's not the three that actually won. They're all going to have to be disclosed once they come forward. And, of course, you know where the ticket was bought from. So you have a pretty good sense of where they're from.
Now, I understand, speaking of states, only 44 states participate, but like Canadians, the remaining states, people travel to the other states to buy tickets.
Big time. For example, Alabama does not participate, but Georgia does. So there were thousands of people going across the border from Alabama to Georgia. I mean, the lines were literally like all day and all night. I mean, there were like one store had 5,000 people lined up to it. I mean, this is a real mania. This is just absolutely crazy. Your chances of winning in the end were about 1 in 300 million, which is a lower odds than being hit by lightning twice.
Okay,
that's,
you know,
really hard to do.
I'm glad you brought up the lightning analogy because I've heard so many different analogies from lightning to getting a disease. And by the way, every single analogy that somebody brings up as to what you could have happen more to you than winning a lottery, they're all negative things. There's not one positive thing that can happen to you less than winning a lottery.
Well, you know, what's interesting is actually people winning the lottery, it's not always a wonderful story. Sometimes it is. I worked at Money Magazine for many, many years, and we did a story at Money looking back at those who'd won a lottery of $1 million or more 5 years later, and 40% of them were bankrupt, okay? Because what happens is all of a sudden you've got this huge amount of money. You're not kind of psychologically ready to handle it, and you find you had all kinds of friends you never knew you had in the past. So people come out of the woodwork with all kinds of sob stories and reasons why you should invest in their business and give money for their kids' education. And they end up giving the money away before they even get any of it. So in many, many cases, literally 40% of the cases, it does not work out well at all.
Mm. Well, let's go through again the chronology. You go to the state capitol, to the lottery office to mention, get your check. But before you do that, should you contact a lawyer, or should that be the first thing you do after you go to the state lottery board?
I would agree with you. I think you should do the lawyer first. Before you go into the witness protection program. That's right, because people are going to be coming after you left and right. So have some legal protections, not only a lawyer, but you're going to want an accountant, probably a tax person. There's all kinds of big tax questions. And then an investment person. I mean, are you going to take the lump sum or the annuity? It's a huge question. It's going to change your life forever. Now, in my particular case, I would always take the lump sum. I mean, I know how to invest, but that would help. So I want to get the taxes out of the way. So in the case of a $1.5 billion you'd end up, between the three of them, with about $930 million after taxes. I'm willing to do that, okay? I want to get the taxes out of the way right up front and then have flexibility in where I invest the money right now. That, to me, is a much better way to go than having it paid out over 10 or 20 years.
And when you have, when you're talking about that huge sum of money, where do you invest?
Well, I'll tell you what I would do.
What?
I would put it in safe, high-yielding investments where you're going to get current income and not have to worry about the principal. Okay. And I'll tell you what I've been doing with my own money lately, separate from the lottery. I do what are called commercial mortgage bridge loans. And there's a website. People can find out more about that, commercialmortgagebridgeloans.com. That's a way of earning a 6% yield over 1 year, get monthly checks, get your money back for sure at the end of the year, and there are no fees involved whatsoever. So if I had a huge amount of money, I'd put it in that, have some nice checks coming in every month automatically, no fees whatsoever, without having to worry about the stock and bond markets. Obviously, the stock and bond markets have been wildly volatile lately, and are mostly on the downside. So if you have a huge amount, you just want to protect your principal, get a nice little chunk of income on a regular basis, and not have to worry about it. The stock market.
Well, I was just about to ask. So the people who won, the three winners, the three ticket holders, because they could be multiple winners among those tickets, the three ticket holders are dividing exactly how much?
Well, it's going to be $1.5 billion. So right. Before tax, it'll be $500 million each.
Okay, $500 million each. So after taxes, what would one of those ticket holders get?
Well, the total is $930. It's going to be about $310 million, give or take, something like that.
If they take a lump sum.
Correct.
Okay, so let's say for argument's sake, let's be realistic. Somebody's going to, they're going to be altruistic, they're going to help their friends, they might do charity, they might give to charity, they might give to local causes that they believe in. Let's say they blow in that regard, and they do some traveling and they spend money. Yep. On toys that they want. Let's say they blow $200 million, which is a lot of money.
Yes.
That leaves them with $100 million.
Yeah, well, that's okay. This is the largest lottery in history.
Yeah, so
most people don't get that much. But,
best way? Do you suggest if they have $100 million lying around, that what they should do is just for the rest of their life live off the interest and never touch the principal of that?
Yes, and I would agree with that. Now, you've got so much capital that you don't need to grow your capital. You need to protect your capital when you have that kind of money and have regular amount of income. Now, if you put it in the bank, either in Canada or the U.S., you're getting zero today. Zero on CDs, on savings accounts, on RRSPs, on money funds. So that's not going to help you at all. Okay, you've got to do something where you're going to earn a regular level of income. And that's why I like these bridge loans. Other things like that, because that's a nice conservative way to earn regular income where you don't have to worry about your principal whatsoever.
Okay, now you're known as America's Money Answers Man. You are in the financial world. You probably make a pretty decent living. I'm sure you do.
Yes, this is true.
You invest,
everything you just said is just true. Yes.
You invest very well.
Did you
buy any tickets?
I did not. I've never bought a lottery ticket in my life. I just think it's a complete... I mean, first of all, the amount of time to buy a ticket is not time I'm willing to spend in a line for, you know, all day to do something that I know is going to lose. So I have never bought a lottery ticket in my life, Peter. Even when I'm in Las Vegas, I put like a quarter into the slot machines as I walk by. And that's about it. So it's just not for me. I guess some people get excited, but not me.
I do buy lottery tickets, but I'll never line up for one. Because
have you actually won anything?
Yes, I have. But I've always maintained that the lottery gives me an opportunity to dream and fantasize, and that's worth the price of admission. That's really worth the price of admission for me.
But I mean, this is fine. But just look at on a societal level.
Yes,
it's really taking from the poor and giving to the rich when you get down to it. Okay, I mean, the people who are in those lines couldn't afford to lose them, and they weren't just spending a dollar; they were spending $50, $100, $150. These pools sometimes were thousands of dollars. I mean, to reach 1.5 billion, you have a lot of people putting in a lot of money, and now they don't have it at all. So the three winners, nice for them, but the vast, vast, vast majority of people lost whatever they put in and got nothing out of it, other than, as you say, fantasies, I guess. Okay, so they're able to fantasize for a day. But is that worth it? I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, the winners, they're certainly going to find out very quickly who their friends are and yes, and also who their enemies are, I would assume.
Well, the one word you should learn as a lottery winner is no, okay? Because everybody's going to come at you, and if you start saying yes to some people and no to others, it's a very good way to make enemies. So saying no is a very good thing to learn. And, you know, some people go into hiding, but just settling this whole thing out, because everybody's going to come at you with what seems like a completely legitimate either need. You know, they got some disease, their kid has to go to college, they've got this great business idea, investment idea. They're all going to have come at you with what sounds like, you know, a legitimate, worthwhile thing. And the answer, at least for the first 6 months, is no to all of them. Just let it settle out. And that's good advice. I hope the lottery winners are listening to your show.
Might help to learn to say no in several languages, too. People can find out more information on what you do by going to the website moneyanswers.com, correct?
Absolutely. I've got all kinds of resources, even if you're not a lottery winner, to help you in all aspects of personal finance at moneyanswers.com. And I'm glad to take emails from your listeners as well.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Jordan, for being on the program with us.
Thanks so much, Peter. Appreciate it.
America's Money Answers man, Jordan Goodman. Again, you can check out his website at moneyanswers.com. You can go to my website at thestufffile.com. Go to the What's On page for the show, which is show number 0335, and you'll find links to Jordan's site.
You're listening to The Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. Drop Peter a line. He'd love to hear from you. You can email him at peter@thestufffile.com or catch up with him on Twitter or Facebook. There's more Stuff File coming your way in just a few moments.
Kelly Alexander Show is your place to be for everything to do with health, lifestyle, and entertainment. Join us as we chat with celebrities like Emmy winner Mia Michaels from So You Think You Can Dance, best-selling recording artist Taylor Dane, and world-renowned astronaut Julie Payette. We also cover important topics like breast cancer awareness and how to help your child through bullying. All this and more, please join us, www.kellyalexandershow.com.
It's The Kelly Alexander Show.
Capture your need for sound.
Peter Anthony Holder here. Have you ever noticed on some of those public broadcasting pledge drives, they tend to sound like ransom demands in a kidnapping?
Hey, your kids like this, Mr. Rogers. It would be most unfortune if, for some unforeseen reason, you weren't in the neighborhood no more.
Well, I'm here to ask for your support in a non-threatening, non-obligatory kind of way. Part of the success of The Stuff File depends on the generosity of its listeners worldwide. So if you can, and if you want, please feel free to make a small one-time donation. Just go to the website at thestufffile.com and click on the PayPal donation button. You can donate $10, $5, or even $1, whatever you'd like.
You know that big bird? That would be one huge drumstick. If you know what I mean.
If you have a PayPal account, it's an easy transfer. And if you don't, all major credit cards are accepted. Your generosity would be much appreciated in keeping this show running.
About that antique roadshow, they might be seeing a little more concrete than they originally anticipated.
No strong-arm tactics, no ransom demands. Just a simple please and thank you. To donate, visit thestufffile.com.
You're listening to The Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. Batteries not included, some assembly required.
And still to come on the program, we'll talk to Andrew Vazekas, the night sky guy. Plus, we'll talk a little bit about online dating. Stick around for that. Of course, we do have an idiot of the day coming your way a little later on, and much more Stuff File news right here, right now, on a program also heard on Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Indiana police say a man paying for his McDonald's food handed a bag of heroin to a drive-through worker. along with his money. The police report of the incident said an employee at the McDonald's in LaPorte took money from a male driver who apparently was intoxicated, and she sorted the bills to discover a green plastic baggie containing a rock-like substance. Police said the substance appeared to be heroin, and later testing confirmed the presence of the drug. Police said the man likely handed over the heroin by accident. It shows you how significant the problem is here that we're battling, said Metro Operations Coordinator Harlan Williams. Well, to use their current slogan, there's something for everyone to love at McDonald's. 44-year-old Mark Pitt says he is trying to clean up the streets of Clacton, Treckring, England. His first step, he legally changed his name to Obi-Mark Kenobi. Obi-Wan Kenobi was a great person, a Jedi, Kenobi said. I changed my name for a new start. I want to stop the damage being done in Clacton, the drugs, violence, people preying on the vulnerable. Unfortunately, his clean-up actions landed him in court. Kenobi allegedly chased some youths while armed with a shovel. A witness said she heard Kenobi shouting, I am going to cut everyone's head off in Clacton because they are all nutters. In a statement to the press, Kenobi confirmed, I am going to cut your head off. I will do anything I can to help out, but I have never hurt anybody. I have decided to use the force rather than actual force. Officials have taken the shovel away from him. Ah, yes, vigilantes, substituting one force for another since a long, long time ago. And of course, you know, they had to take his shovel away from him because Britain, as you know, has strict shovel control. Anyway, 36-year-old Stacey Scuderi was not able to get out on bail after a DUI arrest, even though her husband is a prominent attorney. Stacey was arrested after allegedly leading Collier County, Florida sheriff's deputies on a chase at 110 miles per hour on her way home from a 1 a.m. trip to Walmart. She refused a breathalyzer test and was booked for driving under the influence, speeding, driving with no headlights, and leaving the scene of a crash. It's not her first trouble with the law. She was, a restraining order against her for allegedly attacking a neighbor, along with battery, trespassing, and theft allegations. A judge revoked bond for her previous cases, and she is waiting in jail for her next court appearance. She definitely needs help, offered one neighbor. I think she's a bad person too, but she definitely needs help. Wow, she sounds like the kind of gal who needs to be married to a lawyer. She needs to keep one handy with her at all times. Yeah. Meanwhile, a man went to a sex shop in St. Paul, Minnesota, and demanded the clerk exchange the, a genital enlarging pump, shall we, that he had purchased, saying it didn't work as advertised. The clerk refused, claiming that any difficulties the man was having was due to operator error. The man pulled a gun and pointed it at the clerk, but ran without getting an exchange. The man, police say, remains at large. That's at large, not simply large, because, you know, that was the crux of his whole problem. And by the way, you notice he didn't shoot the clerk. I'm wondering if his gun had blanks. Well, we had a naked woman on the rampage earlier in the show. Here's another one. A woman is facing several charges after going on a rampage at a Waffle House restaurant in Georgia, all while completely naked. According to police, the woman, identified as Jennifer Nicholson, stripped off her clothes, punched a woman in the face, and then threw a plate at a window. She also threw several platters at patrons of the restaurant. When police tried to subdue Nicholson, she fought back. The woman, who was punched, sustained a broken nose in the attack, according to police. Nicholson is facing several assault and public indecency charges. Yes, everyone's a food critic. And police in Michigan said a 13-year-old boy loaded his 8-year-old sister into a car and took her for a joyride that ended with a police chase. The Macon County Sheriff's Office said a deputy investigating a report of a black Nissan Altima driving erratically spotted the vehicle stopped at a red light at around 11:30 p.m. in Clinton Township. The deputy turned on his lights and the car pulled over, but it sped off after a few seconds and made it a short distance before the driver lost control and the car spun out across the grassy median and into the eastbound lanes of Metropolitan Parkway. Two children, identified as a 13-year-old driver and his 8-year-old sister, then got out of the vehicle and fled on foot. Deputies chased down the children with help from Clinton Township Police and determined the boy had been driving with the girl in the front passenger seat. The girl was released to her mother, while the boy, who police said they knew from previous incidents, was detained at the Macon Juvenile Justice Center. Police said the car belonged to the girlfriend of the children's father. So, the 13-year-old was known to police from previous incidents. Well, well, well. Just imagine the colorful and extensive rap sheet he'll have by the time he hits 18. This should be epic. And finally, in this section of Stuff File News, before we get to our next guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, while patrolling downtown at 2 a.m., police in Aspen, Colorado, heard some odd sounds and traced them to a bench where a man was chopping cocaine into a line for snorting. The man brushed the powder off the bench. An officer pointed his flashlight at the man's nose and asked if the white powder on his nostrils was cocaine. Elephant Ford's reply has since gone viral. "Of course I have cocaine up my nose. It's Aspen." Ford, who was 34 years old and a bartender in nearby Snowmass Village, was arrested. Traces of the powder tested positive for cocaine. Ford was sentenced to 2 years of probation and 40 hours of community service for drug possession. His attorney, Lee Barish, said Ford's statement to police is one he will regret for the rest of his life, but was a blessing in disguise because it's been a serious eye-opener for him. I'm sure his eyes will remain open now because I have a feeling that line of his, "Of course I have cocaine up my nose, it's Aspen," will now be on t-shirts everywhere. Yeah. And oh, I thought it was the other white powder that Aspen was known for. Silly me. Anyway, on to our next guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. We're into a brand new year, so I thought it might be a good idea to talk to science writer Andrew Vazakis, the night sky guy, to discuss some of the big space and astronomy stories of 2015 and what we should be looking forward to in 2016. Andrew is also a member of the Royal Astronomical Society of Canada, and he joins us via Skype from right here in Montreal. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, Peter.
Thanks for being on the program with us once again, and belated Happy New Year, sir.
Same to you and all your listeners.
Thank you, thank you. So, as I said in the introduction, 2015, was it a big year looking up towards the heavens?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. There's no doubt about it. I think the one out of everything, all the different things that happened in space news in 2015, the biggie, I think, is the flyby of Pluto. You know, this is the last kind of remaining, place in our solar system that has remained a mystery. It's really we've never flown past this dwarf planet. You know, I mean, we've all grown up as Pluto being a major planet. It was downsized back in 2006, but it still holds. It's very close to many people's heart, and it's been a mystery for generations. And now, New Horizons spacecraft in July flew by the small planet, and this was a historic flyby that took 9 years in the making, basically, for that spacecraft to reach this outer solar system destination. Now we've discovered that this planet is just so beautiful. It's one of the most beautiful looking planets, with craters and sand dunes and mountain ranges. It's just fantastic.
I believe another big story of the year too would have been landing on something that was moving.
Well, that's it. So I mean, there's a lot of landing. If you look at the commercial the commercial space industry, there's landing attempts at landing that SpaceX and Elon Musk, the billionaire, tried to land on a moving barge, his rocket. And he wasn't successful in three different tries, but on the fourth try, it seemed to work. When he landed in just before Christmas, he landed his booster rocket on land at Kennedy Space Center in Florida, and that's the first time that we have the ability to reuse a booster rocket. Now, of course, that wasn't the only thing that we landed that was moving. It was also the Rosetta spacecraft that landed on the comet, giant comet that's about 5 miles across, careening through the inner solar system at ridiculous speeds. And we managed for the first time to land this washing machine-sized spacecraft on the surface of this giant dirty snowball. And that was a huge, huge thing of us first time being able to land. We've also drilled into the comet. This is very important. Scientists are ecstatic about this because comets are considered to be basically a cosmological archaeology site, because comets are the remnants of the birth of the solar system. They basically are time capsules showcasing what the solar system was like 4.5 billion years ago. So that was big news.
I guess you could describe that as the Uber ride of all times.
That's right.
So that's 2015. What can we look forward to in 2016? What are you excited about?
Well, there's a lot of really cool things. I mean, you know, being the night sky guy, of course, I'm really interested in astronomical events, night sky events. So some of the stuff that's going to be making news that people should circle on their calendar. For instance, I would think meteor showers. Of course, everybody loves meteor showers because it's something that you can enjoy without a binocular or telescope. And one really nice one that's going to happen, you probably haven't heard of, is the Eta Aquarid meteor shower that peaks on May 6th. There are many other showers that have more famous pedigrees, but the moon is going to be in the way. The bright moon is going to be in the way for most of them, except for the Eta Aquarid showers. It'll be a dark sky during the peak night. And its claim to fame, basically, of this Eta Aquarids is that you're going to be watching sand grain-sized debris from the famed Halley's Comet. It's basically all this sand grain-sized particles are shed from the comet as it flew by the sun back in 1986. And this stuff is all going to be raining down through the atmosphere, burning up all these little particles at high speeds. And this is what we call shooting stars. So on the night of May 6th into the early morning hours of May 7th, you may see upwards of anywhere from 30 to 60 shooting stars per hour. So this should be a great show. And this is for both northern and southern hemisphere folks. So everyone around the world should get a great show. And I think for me, one of the top stuff that will happen will be a few days later, actually, is the transit of Mercury. This is a truly rare treat that people are going to be able to witness the innermost planet, the one that's closest to the sun, Mercury, gliding across the face of the sun. Now, this will be the first time in 10 years that this has happened. So you'll actually see the tiny black silhouette of Mercury. It'll take about 7 hours to make its trek across the solar disk. And it'll be visible throughout the Americas, both Americas, Western Europe, and even portions of Africa and parts of Asia. People will be able to see. It's basically only folks in Australia and Eastern Asia, they'll miss out. It'll be nighttime for them when this happens.
So call your travel agents and plan accordingly. Now, what are some of the things involving man-made structures that might be of interest for 2016?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the really cool things to look for really early on, actually in the coming weeks, will be SpaceX. SpaceX again with Elon Musk. They keep pushing the envelope in terms of commercial space exploration, and they hold a contract, SpaceX, with NASA, $1.6 billion contract to fly 12 robotic resupply missions to the International Space Station using their Falcon 9 rocket. They are going to try to, again, launch a resupply mission on February 7th to the space station. That's something to look for. Then on March 14th, Europe is actually launching their next robotic mission to Mars called ExoMars. It's going to be an orbiter. And what's cool about this is it'll take 7 months to get there. So later on this year, we'll hopefully see it arrive. It'll go into orbit. And what it's going to do is look for trace gases of methane on Mars. Now, why that's interesting is because methane here on Earth, this gas, seems to be a byproduct of life. So everything from cows and humans and most animals, the byproduct, natural byproduct, is this gas, methane. And we have detected tantalizing hints on Mars with other robotic missions that it exists there. So this is going to be something cool to watch for, is will the spacecraft detect any more sources of methane? That's what it'll be hunting for.
It's been a while since the last space shuttle went up into the heavens. Is the United States getting any closer in 2016 to manned spaceflight again?
Yeah, we're going to still have to wait for that a bit because NASA's still working on the Orion spacecraft that is going to be taking the place of the space shuttle. And it's going to be a crewed vehicle. They've tested it late last year in the first flight, a dry run of how everything's working, all the technology's working, and an unmanned shot. And the next one is going to be in 2017 probably. And what's really going to be interesting is, again, the commercial companies are going to step up, I think. And NASA's looking for SpaceX and Boeing to have their own versions of Orion that will be able to shuttle their astronauts to and from the space station. So I think we'll have to wait another year beyond 2016 for us to see that really beginning, at least the first Americans, astronauts being on an American-made spaceship going to at least to low Earth orbit to the space station.
Well, things come to those who wait, which reminds me, one of the things I'm waiting mostly for in 2016 is a certain book to come out, but we'll talk about that at another time.
That's right. That's a great tease, Peter. But let's just say I wish you that you live long and prosper.
Exactly. How can people find you, sir, if they want to check out some of the things you write about that you can share with us now?
Yeah, definitely. If folks are interested in know what's happening in the night sky, I write a weekly column for National Geographic called Starstruck. So they can just go to National Geographic's website and find me there every week on what's happening in the sky. And also they can visit me on Twitter and Facebook at using my name, The Night Sky Guy.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Andrew, for being on the program with us once again.
My pleasure, and I wish everyone clear skies.
Andrew Fizakis, The Night Sky Guy. You can check out his website at thenightskyguy.com, and of course, you'll find the link on my website at thestufffile.com. You're listening to The Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder.
I'm Bob DiRigo Jones, and this is Let's Be Fair. A monkey, an animal rights organization, and a primatologist walk into a federal court to sue for infringement of the monkey's claimed copyright. Sounds like a joke, right? But it's actually a line from a real court document filed by a lawyer for a photographer who was sued last year by the group People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. To make a long story short, a monkey in Indonesia took a picture of himself using a camera that a nature photographer had left unattended. It was hilarious, and the monkey's selfie went viral. Unfortunately, that's when the real monkey business started, and PETA sued the photographer. It claimed that the monkey, not him, should get any money generated by the photo. Let's be fair. I know our legal system sometimes seems like it's gone bananas, but I'm happy to say that a federal judge has just issued a tentative ruling upholding common sense. He says that a monkey can't own a copyright. PETA, however, pledges to keep fighting. Learn more. Visit our website at centerforamericatv.org.
If you or someone you care about is struggling with food and body image issues, don't ignore the signs. Eating disorders are serious, potentially life-threatening illnesses, but recovery is possible, and you don't have to suffer alone. Call the National Eating Disorders Association helpline at 800-931-2237. or visit nationaleatingdisorders.org to take a confidential online eating disorder screening. Recovery is possible.
You're listening to The Stuff File, now with 25% fewer calories. Here's Peter Anthony Holder.
And still to come in the program, we'll talk about online dating. Plus, we do indeed have an idiot of the day. But I've got one more Stuff File news story to share with you right here, right now. On a program also heard on Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio, authorities are seeking to identify a man who robbed a Nashville bank while armed only with a Bible. The Metropolitan Nashville Police Department said it is working with the FBI to attempt to identify the man who walked into a Bank of America branch at 2:30 p.m. Friday while carrying the Holy Book. The man, whom police say did not display a weapon, handed a note demanding cash to a teller. The suspect fled in an older model red car. Police said he dropped his Bible on his way out of the bank. Police are asking members of the public to help identify the suspect. Well, gee, have the cops considered asking, you know, God? Just a thought. Anyway, let's get to our next guest, shall we? When it comes to dating, the month of January sees far more matches and dating-related messages than any other month of the year. What does that mean for you? We put that question to Anita Kovic, the communication specialist for Anastasia Date and Asian Date, and she joins us on the line right now from New York. Hi, Anita.
Hello. Hi. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being on the program. So what makes January such a popular month for dating sites? Is it that old situation of, new resolutions, new things, starting afresh? Is that part of it?
It is. It is completely a part of it. Many people go into the new years with resolutions and with goals set in advance to find their potential mate or someone who would make their lives even more interesting and connect with a person who shares their values, let's say, per se. For example, one of our sites, Anastasia Date, as well as AsianDate.com, have been a trustworthy international online dating site which connects members from United States with members from Europe and Asia. So here at Anastasia Date and AsianDate.com, we help people find their potential dream companion.
Now, since you are working in a business that has a global reach, do you find that dating habits and approaching dating differs from culture to culture?
Excuse me, can you repeat? Sorry.
Do you find that the dating habits and online dating usage differs from culture to culture?
Well, it is different, but I must say that we differ among each site on our market because we are international, so we don't even fall into that category of domestic online dating sites. So we are different. Especially because there are no geographical restrictions. Therefore, there are many different cultures out there that we need to explore. But again, it's easy and it's convenient nowadays to connect with people across all demographics, half around the whole world.
Well, since you're dealing with a global market, that brings up the question, if you have a successful match, in a lot of cases, I'm assuming with your organization, you might be dealing with long-term or long-distance, rather, relationships. Do you have any tips or ideas as to how to make that work?
Yes, of course. It is much easier to match with like-minded members when your interests and hobbies are included on your profile. It may seem tedious while doing it, but when you're so anxious about meeting new people, I believe that future self would thank to you for taking the time to fill in the profile. I would always say fill in the profile with pride and honesty. Show off your qualities who determines you as a person, your cleverness, humor, sophistication, your goals. Share your goals. Be upfront. Please don't use selfies. I don't have anything against selfies, but I believe it's not a good representation of yourself that you want to put into your profile.
Why don't you think that selfies are a good representation?
I don't think they're good representation. Not that I have anything against, as I said. I send thousands of emails to my boyfriend, my family during the day, but I think we need more representative photo on your international online dating site or profile that sort of shows you as a person, who you are, so at least it gives us a clue. I don't think that selfie does that.
Okay,
it's
so you okay, so you're giving us some tips as to what you should do when you're putting in a profile. What about on the other side of the coin? When you are looking at somebody's profile, what should you look for, and what should you look out for that might be a red flag that this person is not for you, or is for you?
Well, the red flag is being dishonest, not being honest. So the main goal, and I would suggest that to all of our members and potential members, is to be upfront and honest. Confident and positive. Positivity brings you, just take a positive spin on everything, because negativity is a deal breaker as we know it. And for example, let's say you don't like to bike. Take a positive spin and say, I don't like to bike, but I like to walk 4 hours, or something like that. So yes, those would be my tips. And also, when it comes into international online dating, it's very important to educate yourself on other countries and other cultures, because you get a chance to speak with people from all around the world. And it's better if you know certain facts on that culture. It helps a lot. Or knowing ingredients about a person's culture can secure a positive impression, that's for sure.
We're now deeper into the 21st century. 2016 is where we are, and online dating's been around for a while now. When online dating first came along, there were a lot of people who were very leery of it, people who said, I'm never going to do that. Has online dating changed over the last little while, and has it become more accessible and more readily embraced by the general population than it was several years ago?
It definitely is, because the internet plays an essential role in our everyday lives. We use it for work, for shopping, for networking, for entertainment. So why not dating? And people have embraced this fact, because many of the people nowadays are on their hectic schedule, and they don't really have time to go out there and search for their potential soulmate. So they did embrace the idea of online dating, domestic or international as well. And it really doesn't seem so far away anymore to communicate with people half around the world. It is easy, it is convenient, and there is no geographical restrictions. It is approachable.
Now, you mentioned earlier when we touched on selfies, you send selfies to your boyfriend, you send selfies to your family. So since you do have a boyfriend, I'm curious, did you meet online?
Well, it wasn't through online dating sites, but we met sort of online. Let's put it that way, on one of our social platforms.
Okay.
We met over there. So we can maybe even say we met online. Yes. Not necessarily that I went on an international online dating site. I was planning to do so, but I met him prior to do so. If he behaves well, I might not go and visit sites and search for my soulmate. Maybe he's the one. You never know.
If he behaves well. I'm sure he can say the same thing about you as well.
Yes.
Which brings up another point. When people are going on dating sites, are they looking, as you say just now, for their soulmate? Or are they just looking to date? And how do you differentiate that? I mean, you know, one person might be more serious about the dating relationship or getting into a dating relationship than somebody else. How do you match those people up, the right ones?
Well, this is where the idea of honesty comes up, because it's very important. That's why I said it's very important to be honest and share your goals, your future goals toward relationships once you create that profile. Either you put out there that you're looking for someone just to talk to, or maybe casual companionship, or you actually looking for a legit relationship, your potential dream companion who shares your values. So it is very important to be clear on that when it comes to international online dating.
People can go to and find more information about your websites that you're talking about, the ones that you work with, which is Anastasia Date and Asian Date. That's AnastasiaDate.com and AsianDate.com, correct?
Correct.
I thank you very
much. All of these information could be found there.
Excellent. I thank you very much for being on the program with us, Anita.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Anita Kovic, the communication specialist for Anastasia Date and Asian Date. You can go to my website at thestufffile.com, go to the What's On page for this show, which is show number 0335, and you'll find links to their sites. You're listening to The Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. Time now for The Idiot of the Day.
And now it's time for The Strange Things Adults Do. The Stuff File presents The Idiot of the Day.
We have two for the price of one this time around. Number one, nurse's aide Candace McCray, age 36, is the most recent theft suspect to have worn some of the purloined jewelry when meeting police detectives investigating the theft. An assisted living resident in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, had described her missing gems, and McCray was questioned as someone with access to the woman's room. Yes, she talked to the police while actually wearing the woman's jewelry. Number two, 26-year-old Joshua Jordan in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, became the most recent burglary suspect caught on surveillance video during the crime wearing a shirt with his name on it, which was later found in Jordan's home along with the stash from the December 2nd burglary. Now why, oh why, are so many criminals oblivious to the world around them when they commit crimes or are questioned about the crimes they commit? Well, one reason, and one reason only, they're idiots!
Gee, I'm only a kid, but even I know you're an idiot.
And that's it for this edition of the Stuff File program number 0335. Hope you enjoyed it. The website is thestufffile.com. And once again, stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H, where you'll find information and links and all of our guests by going to the weekly Stuff File page. Just look for the corresponding program number, and once again, that's 0335. Email me at peter@thestufffile.com. You can also find me on Facebook and Twitter as PA Holder. And don't forget to check out the Stuff File store, where you can purchase a plethora of Stuff File merchandise, from t-shirts to mugs to tote bags to mouse pads. Hope to see you back here for our next show on the air, online, or as a download. We're coming to you from everywhere, including CyberStationUSA.com, KDXRadio.com, AirChecker, Canada's number one radio source, streaming on PCJ Radio International and its partner stations, TrueTalkRadio.com, downloaded in iTunes and Stitcher, and over the air on World FM in New Zealand, MediaCorp in Singapore, and WSTJ in St. Johnsbury, Vermont. That's it. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder, a presentation of Flying Fish Communications. Any rebroadcast of this copywritten program in whole or in part without the express written consent of... Oh, God, who the hell are we kidding? Who's going to steal this show? God, who writes this stuff? Holder, what a kidder.